This podcast is sponsored by Ramp. Are you the decision maker in your company? Consider this. For the first time in decades, there's a better option for a corporate card and spend management platform. Meet Ramp, the only corporate card and spend management system designed to help you spend less money so you can make more. With Ramp, you get full visibility into your company's spending and control who spends what with each vendor. Ramp's software collects and verifies receipts instantly to save your team valuable time. Ramp automates data entry and routine tasks with automated approvals, expense categorization and bill payments, time-consuming tasks, which means you'll stop wasteful spending and close your books in hours instead of days. Businesses that use Ramp add up to 5% to their bottom line the first year. If you're a decision maker, adding Ramp could be one of the best decisions you've ever made. Get $250 when you join Ramp for free. Just go to ramp.com/easy. ramp.com/easy. ramp.com/easy.
Cards issued by Sutton Bank and Celtic Bank, members of FDIC. Terms and conditions apply.
People are driven by the search for better. But when it comes to hiring, the best way to search for a candidate isn't to search at all. Don't search, match with Indeed. The hiring process can be slow and overwhelming. Simplify hiring with Indeed. Indeed is your matching and hiring platform, with over 350 million global monthly visitors according to Indeed data, and a matching engine that helps you find quality candidates fast. Ditch the busy work. Use Indeed for scheduling, screening, and messaging so you can connect with candidates faster. Join more than 3.5 million businesses worldwide that use Indeed to hire great talent fast. Listeners of this show will get a $75 sponsored job credit to get your jobs more visibility at Indeed.com/PODKATZ13. That's Indeed.com/PODKATZ13. Terms and conditions apply.
Welcome, my good people. Welcome to the CJ Moneyway Show. And I'm with your host, CJ Moneyway. Let's get it.
Welcome, my good people. Welcome to the CJ Moneyway Show. It's your boy, CJ Moneyway. Today, I have two special guests. Welcome to the show. Number one, international selling authors of the book, Unbreakable Marriage, Marriage Mentors, Pastor and First Lady Sam. How you guys doing?
We're doing great, CJ.
Yeah.
I'm glad you guys can come to the show today. So before we get started, I just want to ask a question. Tell us, what is the process like of being marriage counselors?
I mean, how do we end up becoming?
Like when you guys go into a marriage session, you know, like the preparation that you guys do to before you call. I know everybody's situation is different, but I know you guys have to stay on probably the same course and go with the same mentality. How's that process?
Yeah. Well, basically, our process begins with the free consultation, and so we get the couple to fill out a questionnaire ahead of time. Just some few simple questions, a little bit about their background, you know, what in their opinion or from their perspective, you know, led to where they're at right now. And what are they looking for? Like, what kind of changes, you know, do they want to see in their marriage? And we just ask one probing question, and that is, like, are there any exceptional circumstances that we need to know about? Like, are you battling any addictions? Did you experience any trauma, tragedies, that type of thing? And so that basically gets us started into a conversation that will go deep. And based on where they're at, what they've been through, then what we do, CJ, is we do not do counseling sessions, because we have a whole mentorship process.
Okay.
And so we're basically trying to see when we meet with a couple, because most couples that come to us are like two steps away from divorce court. And so at that point, it's like if they really are motivated and both of them are willing to do the work it takes, then at that point, we say, hey, guys, this is where you're at. This is where you want to be. This is the process that's going to take you there. And you know, here are the steps along the way. Are you willing to make a commitment? It's as simple as that.
After the initial, visit or meeting with the couple, then we do an assessment. You know, it's a fairly detailed assessment that tells them exactly where their marriage is. Then we can, you know, kind of cater everything accordingly.
It's a well-known assessment. It's called the Prepare Enrich Assessment. It was actually developed by a group of Christian psychologists, sociologists, you know, pastors, etc., counselors. And so it's very, very accurate, you know, in finding out where people are at in areas like, you know, communication, conflict resolution, financial management, the sexual relationship, the impact of family and friends, and so on. And so most of them, by the time they come to us, tank on virtually all of those areas.
I can imagine. So let me just ask a question. This wasn't on my list, but just listening to you guys, like, what is one of the main things that you guys get as far as getting that close to divorce? A lot of times I hear that is communication.
Oh, absolutely. You know, people have either stopped communicating or they cannot communicate without getting into an argument or a fight. They get to a point where they don't believe the partner can say anything that is good or redemptive. And so anything that they say is often misunderstood. Mm-hmm. A lot of communication. Communication is at the heart of a lot of the issues, you know, that they face.
Yeah, the other thing, CJ, is also the baggage that they bring in. Mm-hmm. You know, all the trauma, the abuse, you know, all the unhealed hurts, you know, from the past. It can go back up to the childhood, and they bring it along, and, you know, that's how they see their spouse through those lenses.
They get triggered easily.
Yeah.
You know, so they may have grown up in a household, you know, where the mother, you know, treated them a certain way. Mm-hmm. Then all of a sudden, you know, the wife treats the husband in a certain way, and you know, he gets mad at her. Sometimes, you know, almost in a very exaggerated way. And she's like, I didn't think I did anything that bad. But what he's doing is he's still got some unhealed wounds from his from his mother, but he takes it out on his wife. And so we have to become, and of course, not everybody is aware of these things.
Yeah.
You know? Exactly. And so we have to make them aware that, you know, yes, you know, your problem may be that you're not talking to each other, that, you know, you can't touch each other, you know, all those kind of things. But there are some deep-rooted issues that we need to address rather than just teaching you, you know, how to communicate.
Exactly.
Because before we can teach you how to communicate, you must want to communicate.
Yeah.
And that is the deeper work that needs to be done.
Yeah, I can understand that a little bit. Because there's sometimes some things that we hold close to the chest and so that we don't talk about it. And so now, like you guys saying, I don't know what your issue is. You don't know what my issue is.
Yeah.
But it comes from years ago. That was a good one, Miss Sam's baggage. I like that. So what are some of the most important keys to sustaining a long-term relationship, somewhat like you guys, 40 years plus? And congratulations.
Yeah. Oh,
thank you.
Thank you.
Yeah. I think, you know, in one word, it is the habits that you practice on a regular basis.
Mm-hmm.
And the patterns that you establish, they can be healthy, you know, or they can lead to, you know, like a breakdown, you know, eventually.
Mm-hmm.
And so once you take care of those, and you know, we help people to examine what those habits are that they brought into it. But more importantly, we teach them some healthy habits that will actually, like the way we phrase it is, your habits will shift the spiritual atmosphere in your marriage.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. So when people come to us, the atmosphere is usually very toxic, you know, in their homes. And that's why they cannot see anything, you know, good in each other.
Mm-hmm.
And more often than not, the toxicity has to do with certain habits that they have developed over the years.
Mm-hmm.
And what do I mean by habits? Habits might be as simple as not appraising each other, not appreciating each other.
Mm-hmm.
You know, always looking for the negative in each other, criticizing, condemning, complaining, comparing. You know, all those things are toxins.
Mm-hmm.
So now we have to teach them how to replace all of that. You know,
mm-hmm.
And come from a Christian perspective. Quite often we find that even Christian couples are not used to praying together.
Mm-hmm.
You know, they don't read the Bible. Yeah, some of the basic things.
Yeah. Also, you know, I think letting our partner know that they are the number one in your life,
mm-hmm.
you know, it would be very helpful. You know, it will help sustain, like you said, you know, the marriage. lots of times, you know, especially when you have little kids, we forget, you know, all the attention goes on the children. Yeah. And we forget to, you know, take time for each other. Mm-hmm. So those are important things. Date nights, you know, date nights, we still do that. We didn't do it in the beginning, you know, but it's very important to make time for each other. Mm-hmm. And
Which again, it's really a healthy habit that you build in, mm-hmm. you know, then that becomes such a part of your life that, you know, if you didn't do it, you'd think something was wrong. Mm-hmm. And so that's the... Well, let me even backtrack one second, CJ. One of the things that we are finding, sadly, is that most couples, including Christian couples, are going into marriage without being adequately prepared for it. Mm. And so when some wind of adversity blows, when they start getting into a fight, quite often they don't know how to handle it properly. Mm-hmm. So they either blow up, you know, or they shut up, and neither one is healthy. Mm-hmm. And so to go into your marriage, you know, with a tool bucket, you know, where you pull out some things as you go along, mm-hmm. can go a long way, you know, towards avoiding breakdown.
Yeah, I believe you with that, Pastor. You know, I've always heard, and I think I heard George Meyer say this some years ago, and it just stuck with me. She said, you got to go into this thing on a solid foundation. You know, if the foundation isn't solid, no matter how much you try to build on, it's gonna come down at some point because it was some cracks in the foundation. So I took that to heart. So because I'm listening to what you're saying about that, and so like me and my wife, and that's something that we do. Well, I work rotating shifts, but we make time for each other. Well, we would have date nights on like Saturdays when I was off, and we would watch movies or our favorite TV shows and things of that nature. So I do agree with you guys that is important, you know, because like Ms. Sam said, that a lot of times we take the attention to the kids. And matter of fact, Pastor, I was just telling somebody this the other day. I said, we know as far as Christians, you know, those that's in the Word, we know what the pecking order is. At the same time, don't be fighting with the kid trying to get attention. You know, like if she fixed the kid plate first, don't sit up there and get mad like, oh, you supposed to fix my plate first. I'm the man of the house. come on.
Yeah. Well, at our age, you know, we realize there comes a stage where the kids are no longer going to be part of your life on a regular basis. Mm-hmm. Yeah. But you still got each other. Mm-hmm. And if you focus way too much on the children and neglected each other, then you'll end up like, who's the stranger that I'm living with?
Exactly. That's some good points right there. So on top of that, let's talk about your number one international best-selling book, The Unbreakable Marriage.
Sure. So I'll tell you, the way the book came about was actually, you know, we were mentoring married couples and having a tremendous success rate. Like we are actually... Very confidently, we can say that 100% of the couples that went through our mentorship process and did everything that we taught them to do, mm-hmm. and maintained it, got a breakthrough. And so I was telling a coach that I was working with, I wanted to talk to him about, you know, how can we expand our reach? Because up to that point, we were getting all of our clients through referrals. And so he said to me, guys, you know, you have something phenomenal, you know, that you're working with. And if you're just going to be working with couples and they're the only ones that know about this process, like you know, you're really like, well, shortchanging the world. Mm-hmm. As many couples can actually grab a hold of what you're offering. So he said to us, you know, like, this is a no-brainer. You have to write a book. Mm-hmm. And in the book, you have to share everything that you do so that if somebody picks up the book and maybe, you know, you have to create something of a companion workbook and so on. But they'll be able to get the same breakthrough if they apply themselves the same way. Hmm. And so that's how we ended up writing the book.
Yeah, it's basically the process of our mentorship, you know, this right from the beginning till the end. Yeah. Mm-hmm.
So, yeah, I mean, so let me ask a question on top of that. So, you know, when we first started, you say that a lot of times when people come to you guys, they almost, you know, two steps from divorce. So how much of an effect does the book have on people that's, you know, maybe in a somewhat stable relationship but it could be better?
Well, the book has something for everybody. As a matter of fact, one of the groups that we find using the book is actually couples who are engaged and just, you know, waiting to get married, because now our book can serve as a marriage manual for them. And so they actually go into marriage developing some good habits. Now, if somebody's been married for a while, you know, like most of us get into habits and patterns that we may not have started with. And so all of a sudden to pick up the book, it'll say, oh, there's something that we should be doing. We haven't been doing that. You know, there's a good way that we should be, we can handle conflict, you know, that nobody taught us and so on. So there are things that anybody can pick up from the book. And as a matter of fact, one of the things that we did, and then you know this, CJ, this generation doesn't like to read a lot.
No.
We have a YouTube generation.
Yeah.
And so one of the things we ended up doing was actually create an e-course where we share the content of the book in video form. And so people can watch the videos together, you know, do some exercises.
In a group, group setting.
Group setting or even as a couple individual. As a matter of fact, the best way to get the most out of our book, e-course, audiobook, whatever it is to actually partner with another couple. And it's even better if one couple is fairly new in marriage, maybe 1 or 2 years, and the other couple's been married for like 10 years or longer, has seen some things, been through some things. And together, if they would go through our curriculum in book form or e-course form, well, two things happen. First of all, when you're in an accountable relationship with somebody, you will get it done. If you just try to do it on your own, you know, one day, like somebody might, you know, your favorite team might be playing that day. And so I know that's the time we set aside for our session, but, you know, watching the Bears is more important, right? And so people can get distracted. But if you make a commitment to someone else and both of them keep the commitment, you will go through it. And by the time you go through it, not only do you get all the contents, all the strategies, all the insights, but you've also developed a good friendship with another couple. So they know you, you know them. And when you run into some kind of an issue after finishing this process, you've got somebody that you can turn to and talk to. And I don't know if any of your pastors are listening to this, but that's a great strategy that you can use as a pastor in your church. So you don't have to handle every time somebody has, you know, a problem with their marriage. You raise up some other people in your congregation to also to be marriage mentors.
Yeah, that's a good idea. Yeah, that's a real good idea. Okay, so let me ask you this. So what is behind the inspiration while I was reading what it said that you guys want to save over 50,000 marriages, marriage couples over the next 5 years?
Well, it actually came to me one day. I was just, you know, spending some quiet time with God, and it felt like God saying very clearly, just after the book was published, it says, like, the reason for this book being published is not for you to sell a lot of books. It's for you to use the contents of this book to save 50,000 marriages from divorce in the next 5 years. And I was actually shocked because we work with couples one-on-one, so we cannot handle, you know, more than a few couples at a time. So all of a sudden, and I didn't get the revelation right away, but after a while, God gave me, both of us more strategies of how we could go about doing it. So one of them was by raising up other people who could do what we are doing right now. So we train them and we teach them how to do the same marriage mentorship that we're doing. Another strategy that God gave us was what we talked about earlier, work with couples before they get married. So now you're preventing them from ever getting to the place of breaking down, or even, you know, prepare them for the marriage so they never get to the repair stage, you know, of their marriage. And so on, right?
Even train couples, like you talked about before, in churches, so that they can in turn, you know, disciple other couples who are, you know, maybe just married for a year or two. That's how it's going to expand. We are slowly, you know, getting invited to different churches. We've got we were invited to like a family camp in another province this summer. So we are hoping, you know, this way it will grow and
And one of the things that really kind of gnaws at me is that the divorce rate within the church is often not that much different from what it is on the outside.
Mm-hmm.
And so we can't do anything about people outside the church, but you know, we have at least some influence over people who are within the church. And so if we can get people within the church to get their marriages back on track, then, you know, or, you know, start of their marriage by building something that is healthy and lasting, then, you know, we can set an example. You know, like one of the challenges I give to pastors is, like, how would you like to be able to put up a sign that says, we have a 0% divorce rate in our church? Like, that'll get the attention of everybody, you know, whether they're believers or not. They'll say, that's impossible. How can you have that when outside it's over 50%? And so now people will be drawn to a church like that, you know, or drawn to a couple who's got their marriage together, who treat each other well, and somebody else can very clearly see, like, this couple's got something there.
Yeah.
We want to know what that is.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. So part of that, that's part of the motivation, you know, is really to make sure that we set a good example. And Sloan used a very good term. And that is discipling couples, which unfortunately, I mean, I was a pastor for 35 years. We never did, you know, we never had that revelation of having one couple disciple another couple. We had, you know, people discipling each other, but not as couples for their marriage. Wow. Like that could make a tremendous difference.
Yeah. I get it, because you do have other couples in the church. You know, I can think about my church. That's been, you know, have long marriages and have sustained marriages for a long period of time, that if they were to be mentored in that aspect, that, because we always try to do it anyway, you know, yeah. Like if you see a younger couple and, you know, you talk to them and try to, you know, like, hey, yeah, the first couple years is kind of rough, but, you know, like you said earlier, a lot of times, especially now, like you say, you know, this whole generation will look different. And so the first sign of trouble is like, you know what, I'm out of here. And so, you know, so you do try to encourage people, you know, that, you know, like some of the younger people and things of that nature. But I like the idea that you have, that you guys have, you have a manuscript, that a blueprint that people can go by, you know, and that's been tried and true. So I pray that you guys will get that out to more people, and that it is and fluctuate in more churches, you know, to get on that page. So what are some of the challenges that you guys have faced over the 40 years of marriage?
Okay, I'll let you go first. I was the one who created.
You went first on every other question. You go first on.
Yeah, because I created a lot of challenges for her. So,
I think one of the biggest challenges we faced is with our finances.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, yeah. See, Jeeva handled all the finances all the time. And, you know,
when I was single, before we got married.
Okay.
Yeah. So it continued when we got married, you know, it continued. And I worked, but I never, you know, really wanted to know or paid attention to what's happening with the money. Mm-hmm. I thought I just trusted him. So it came. And then eventually, you know, we had children. We have, you know, three children. I knew, you know, things were not good. But he didn't tell me. So all of a sudden, I found out all the credit cards have been maxed out and we were in deep trouble. So that's when, you know, we decided to take a course on how to, you know, handle steward the...
You've probably heard about Dave Ramsey. Financial Peace University.
Okay.
Well, part of what happened was, like, we were both raised with very different philosophies. And this is where, like, your childhood, not just in terms of trauma and that type of thing, but also the patterns that you see, that you observe from your own family. You don't even think that you're learning it, but you are.
Mm-hmm.
And so in Sloan's family, her father was very strict with this money, in that his philosophy was, if we don't have the money, we don't buy anything.
Mm-hmm.
It's as simple as that. And that went all the way from buying groceries to buying a house. You know, like, that was his philosophy. I was raised with a philosophy where you just go spend, and get into debt. But it was more like, if you need something and you know that you're going to be able to pay it off, then, you know, it's okay to go into debt.
Yeah.
Yeah. And so now I took that to a little bit more of an extreme, you know, where after a while I just kind of lost track. Mm-hmm. I just kept on, you know, like to me, if I had room in my credit card, that meant I could afford it.
Mm-hmm.
It's a really perverted way of thinking. So eventually, you know, it did, you know, cause those problems, and the clash, you know, between the ways in which we were raised to think about money had a lot to do with it. And so she was always saying, you know, we got to save.
Mm-hmm.
And I'm like, no, we got to, you know, pay off these things first before we can save. And so eventually we thought, you know, like we're fighting too much about mm-hmm. money. It's not that we didn't have enough of it,
mm-hmm.
but we were not handling what we had properly.
Mm-hmm.
And so we said, we have to get the independent, you know, opinion or help of someone, you know, who would not take my side or her side,
mm-hmm.
but also be biblical, you know, in what they taught. And so at that point, it, you know, because I listened to Dave Ramsey on Christian radio quite a bit, and I heard about the Financial Peace University, we thought, okay, there's something that we can both take. So we made a decision that we will take his program, and we may not fully agree with everything he teaches, but we're not going to bring it up.
Mm-hmm.
Right? Because, you know, we're just going to do it
for
a year and see how it turns out. And it basically, you know, turned out to be a lifesaver for finances.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
We got out of debt and yeah.
So it opened up everything else in you guys' life too, huh? So was this before you were pastor or after?
No, this was like, I don't know how many years into marriage.
Oh, mm-hmm. after we were parents.
Yeah. Parents, after we were parents, sorry. Yeah, yeah.
I mean, you know, Pastor, and I know you know this, that sometimes in life too, that we go through certain things, you know.
Hi, I'm Sean Nelson, founder and CEO of Lovesac and host of the Let Me Save You 25 Years podcast. Want to avoid common pitfalls and get straight to the insights that drive success? Join me and recognize names like John Mackey of Whole Foods and Joe DeSena of Spartan as we unpack the hard-earned lessons from their journeys. Ready to streamline your path to success? Listen to Let Me Save You 25 Years on Spotify or wherever you get your podcasts. That's Let Me Save You 25 Years with Sean Nelson. Listen now.
If people are dieting now more than ever before, then why are nearly 1 in 3 American adults overweight? Dr. Gundry, who's helped thousands lose weight and feel younger and healthier than ever, says most people are not getting enough fat-burning MCTs from their food. MCTs are a special kind of compound that instead of turning into fat when you consume it, turns into ketones, which is a chemical that breaks down the excess fat in your body. So, by getting more MCTs in your diet, you essentially flip a switch that puts your body in caloric bypass mode, which can flush out excess fat and calories. And he's created an easy way for you to activate caloric bypass right at home. It's called MCT Wellness. This powerful blend of fat-flushing MCT powders and antioxidant-rich polyphenols is designed to help you unlock your body's fat-burning, energy-producing potential. What's even better is that it's a delicious drink. I love how incredible it tastes. All you do is add a scoop to water, enjoy, and watch as you start feeling slimmer and more energized. So, if you want to experience a quick, easy, and effective way to melt pounds fast, go to GundryMD.com/energy and order right now to get up to 53% off your regular price order with a 90-day money-back guarantee. Again, that's GundryMD.com/energy.
People are driven by the search for better. But when it comes to hiring, the best way to search for a candidate isn't to search at all. Don't search, match with Indeed. The hiring process can be slow and overwhelming. Simplify hiring with Indeed. Indeed is your matching and hiring platform, with over 350 million global monthly visitors according to Indeed data, and a matching engine that helps you find quality candidates fast. Ditch the busy work. Use Indeed for scheduling, screening, and messaging so you can connect with candidates faster. Join more than 3.5 million businesses worldwide that use Indeed to hire great talent fast. Listeners of this show will get a $75 sponsored job credit to get your jobs more visibility at Indeed.com/PODKATZ13. That's Indeed.com/PODKATZ13. Terms and conditions apply.
It was meant to go through.
Yeah.
And then to get to, you know, where you're at now, because I think I listen to my pastor. He talks about this sometimes too. You know, like with finances, especially because you have to learn how to deal with finances with the church.
Yeah.
Mm. And so, you know, so going through certain things and what you guys went through and then, you know, being able to recover from that, it helps down the line. Now I can deal, you know, like I say, you say to much that's given, much is required. You know, if you faithful over small things, then I'll give you much. So sometimes we just go through trying situations
that's
building us for another purpose, you know, for something that we probably didn't see.
Yeah, and one of the good things that came out of the struggle we went through financially is that now we're able to help other couples.
Mm.
So when they come to us, and a lot of times we find with finances, interestingly enough, it's actually a communication problem.
Mm-hmm.
You know, where one person keeps something secret, like I kept all those credit cards and stuff hidden from her. A lack of transparency, you know, is a huge issue. And so, but the funny thing is eventually everything comes out in the open.
Yeah.
Like Jesus said, like nothing will remain hidden.
And so
when that there's a day of reckoning that's coming. And so at that point, things can, you know, turn very messy. You create a lot of strife. And Sojourn was very upset when she found out about the mess that had created.
Mm-hmm.
But, you know, her attitude was, listen, we didn't need to come up with a game plan to take care of this.
Mm-hmm.
And we're going to both work at it together. And that's how we got out of that mountain of debt.
Yeah. You know, that to me, just listening, that's a sign of a great woman. Because as we said earlier, a lot of times nowadays, you know, they run for the fences of finances. I can't do what I want to do and you a mess. You know, they run it to the hills, you know, and try to find somebody that can support them, you know. So that's why, you know, I thank God for my wife, as I know you thank God for your wife, that, you know, we can just be on solid ground and then you go through things, but we're not running, you know. We stick together and whatever happens, happens. And I think a lot of it too, Pastor, plays is your spiritual, where you at mentally, you know what I'm saying? Your faith, where your faith at, because we don't live by sight, you know what I'm saying? Yeah. So a lot of times we can, if we don't see it, then we get discouraged and want to run from things, but we don't live like that.
Yeah.
We live by, I hope, you know, because I believe and I trust in God that whatever situation I'm in right now, that he's going to make it better.
And
just have to, and both have to believe that. Because if I believe it and she don't believe it, it's still going to be a tug of war.
Yeah.
You know?
Yeah.
So whatever. Yeah. So good wifey stuff. what makes you guys a strong believer that any marriage can be restored?
So we believe that any marriage can be restored under two conditions. First of all, the couple must believe that their marriage is worthy of being restored.
Mm-hmm.
And secondly, that they must be determined to do everything possible, you know, to have that marriage restored.
Mm-hmm.
And so, like, one of the conditions that we impose on couples before we take them on as our clients is that both must be at the place of saying, I'm willing to do whatever it takes to get this, you know, taken care of. And so when they have that determination, then, of course, you know, we believe in the power of God, the power of the Holy Spirit.
Yeah,
the Spirit of God raised Jesus from the dead.
Mm-hmm.
And if he can resurrect a man who was dead, he can certainly resurrect a marriage you know, that is dying or is maybe even being given up for dead. And so it's that faith, you know, and the power that comes from believing in God and their own determination, you know, to do whatever it takes. And we tell couples right off the bat, this is not going to be an easy road.
Mm-hmm.
You know, it's not a quick fix. And that's why our mentorship usually runs, you know, in the 10 to 12 week range, you know, where they meet with us every week and, you know, do a, like, we make them do a lot of homework, mm-hmm. and we keep them accountable. You know, they need to give us proof that they did the homework, yeah. And all of that, you know, so and people cannot keep that up if they don't have that steely will, you know, and the determination to make it work, because they know that there's something better. Or for some, sometimes people are like, I don't know how we got to this, because, you know, when we got married, you know, we thought we would be spending eternity together, and we made that promise to God. Mm-hmm. You know, the covenant was not just with each other, but it was with God first and foremost, and we don't want to break that covenant, you know, mm-hmm. and so we will pay the price that we need to pay to make sure that we don't break the covenant.
Yeah.
So can you help us? So when somebody comes with that kind of an attitude and determination, then, like, it's Katie about the door. It'll get done.
Mm. Do you like to add on that?
Yeah, I think Jeeva covered all of it. I was going to say, you know, trusting God mm-hmm. is so important. There are couples that come to us, CJ, you look at them, they're not even, you know, looking at each other. They're not talking. And you feel like, you know, in the beginning, oh my goodness, is this going to work? You know, and then if they, like Jeeva said, you know, as they put in the work, do all the homework, and all of a sudden, you know, we see the breakthrough, and we pray for them, you know, we pray with them. They go for inner healing that we talked about to get all the baggage out of that. And, you know, when they submit themselves to do all of that, they will receive the breakthrough. Mm-hmm. And, you know, Holy Spirit always comes through when, you know, you work hand in hand with Him. You know, he always brings about the breakthrough. And like Jeeva said, you know, if they have that commitment, do all the work, then Holy Spirit will do His part. And
We have a saying, and the saying is, when you do what only you can do, then God will do what only He can do. Mm-hmm. And so you just focus on everything that's under your control. And when you do that, you know, you will get the breakthrough. Yeah. Because it's God that's causing the breakthrough. You're not causing it. You're just preparing yourself, you know, to be in a place where He wants to give you the breakthrough.
You know, I was just thinking about that scripture, planting the seeds. You know, people would say that some plant, I mean, some sow and some water, you know, that's basically what you said. Yeah. Sound like to me, I plant the seed, because they say the planter, the sower, and the water, that neither one of them nothing, because it's God who gives the increase.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah.
You just do your part.
Yeah.
Mm, that's right.
And as Ms. Sam said, and then the Holy Spirit and God gonna do His part.
Yeah.
If you got that commitment. So on top of that, just let me ask just one question on top of that one. Who is the hardest ones to try to convert? The man?
Well, you know what? Like, when you look at different couples, it's not always uniformly one or the other. You know, in some cases, the man, you know, I think generally speaking, the men have a lot more to do. Mm-hmm. But a woman can harden her heart towards her husband.
Yeah.
And when that heart is hard, then, like, you know, like, it takes a lot of work to soften.
Mm.
And so we've seen both happen, mm-hmm. you know, where
every couple is different.
Different, yeah. Yeah, yeah, where, you know, where the woman has had a softness of her heart first, and then she's got to wait for the guy to catch up. Mm. And sometimes it's the other way around, mm. you know, where the guy's got it and the woman is just holding on and holding on. She can't forget some hurt or whatever. Mm-hmm. And eventually, you know, she finds the grace to forgive and keep moving forward. And then all of a sudden we see the breakthrough.
In most cases, it's the woman, you know, who takes the initiative to contact us.
Mm-hmm.
Want to have the marriage restored.
That's why I asked that question. It was something that I had on my list. But just listening to you guys, I was thinking about that, because from my experiences and from people that, you know, that I've talked to, that I know, that is, men are always, you know, because they feel like they don't need counseling, and we don't need, you know, and then a lot of times it's because we're unchurched, you know, because we don't have that connection with the Spirit to, you know what I'm saying? So we tend to run away from things because I don't need to talk to a pastor to tell me.
Yeah.
about my life. And so, you know, that's why I ask the question, because a lot of times, and a lot of people that I know personally, it's us that's reluctant to go to any type of counseling. I don't need no other man telling me what, you know, we got it all figured out. So that's why I asked that question. So how can couples learn to communicate better?
Okay. Well, as I said a while ago, first of all, they must be in a place where they really want to communicate, where they trust each other, because there's a lot of, you know, elements that go into what makes communication tick. And so if you have some blockages, like if you are holding some resentment against your spouse, then your desire to communicate is not even there. And so once you take care of that, one of the simplest things that we teach couples is what we call active listening. And so active listening means, you know, you simply listen to what your spouse says and you try to rephrase it and you repeat it to let them know that you actually heard them. Because a lot of times when our spouse is talking, we're already thinking about what to say in response, what we're going to say next. And so we don't actually fully listen to what they're saying. And so like in our life, slowly, often we have to say, what did they just say? I tell by the look in my eye that I wasn't paying attention.
Sometimes he's looking at the phone.
Or like he said earlier, I'm watching the game, trying to listen to you at the same time, and I just drowned you out. I get it.
So part of the learning to communicate is to start, take those baby steps. Like in our book, actually, we have an exercise. We just call them like discussion questions. So we just encourage couples to take a question. For example, one of the questions might be, what else is on your bucket list? And both of you talk. And when your spouse says, well, you know, one of the things on my bucket list is to, you know, is to climb Mount Everest. And so rather than saying, you're going to climb, no, it's like, oh, Mount Everest is on your bucket list? And, you know, and so that will lead to more communication, because now your spouse is going to say, yeah, you know, I remember seeing this picture, you know, of these guys that were standing on the top, and that did something to me. I thought, you know what, man, I'd like to be able to do that. Oh, okay. See, and you know, and how are you, like, what's your game plan? Like all this kind of stuff, it'll keep the communication going if you simply repeat, you know, what you heard your spouse say. And so these are questions that we have, where the answers will not cause the conflict. They're just, you know, what they are. And now that you pay attention to what they say, then you're both on the same page, you know, when those are concerned. So maybe the next time you go shopping somewhere and you see a, you know, picture of Mount Everest, maybe you pick up that painting, photograph, and you bring it back. And now that means like a whole lot more to your spouse than if you spend $500 on some gold stuff, you know, because it's their dream. See, you heard the dream, and now you're doing something in response to it. So that's a good way to start. What else could you say about communication?
The other thing is how you phrase your hurt. We teach our couples two phrases. Instead of, you know, say Jiva came home late and he didn't call me. When he comes home, instead of saying, you know, what's wrong with you? You know, you didn't call me. So I would say, you know, two phrases. When you, you know, when you were late, you know, when you came home late, and then I felt.
And you didn't call me.
And you didn't call me. I felt, you know, not respected. I felt hurt. I was worried. You know, so those two phrases, when you and I felt. If you, you know, say it that way, then it, you know, just calms the whole situation down.
And you're still like you're not sugarcoating anything. Somehow excusing your spouse for doing something, but say, hey, you know what, you did this, and when you did this, rather than, you know, attaching something to that that attacks them, you know, for their character or for their negligence, you say, you know what, this is how I felt. I need you to know that. You know, and so when, let's say that, you know, in this case, Sloan said that to me, then like I'm like, oh my goodness, I didn't realize that, you know, that you felt that way. Simply, so now it's like I'm coming back to her with a more of a humble attitude, because, you know, she has basically shared her heart, you know, without causing any hurt.
Yeah.
Whereas if she had just started off by, you know, like, you're so insensitive, you never care about whether I, you know, whether I know or not, do you? It's all like, you know, you can go into that kind of a mode. The message is still the same.
Mm-hmm.
You stayed out late without letting me know. But because it's phrased this way, then it's more likely to lead to, you know, some, you know, apology,
mm-hmm.
Some, you know, resolve of, hey, you know what, I'll be more careful in the days to come, and so on. It leads to peace.
It's practice, you know, it doesn't come right away.
It'll come
down. And then you'll think, oh, no, that's not to start the sentence. Yeah.
I mean, I get it. You know, I'm listening to you guys. I get it. Because to me, that's like a form of you're talking to me and not talking at me.
Exactly. Yes.
So like a lot of times, you come home late, you fussing and yelling, you're not actually talking to me, you're talking at me. And so, you know, you get defensive.
Yes.
You start talking, you know, saying at me. But like you said, Patrick, you come, you know, it's a humble thing. She telling me how she feels. So I can't come back like, you always.
Exactly.
I ain't think about it like that. I apologize. I'm sorry.
No, that's very good. Yeah, I think that's a very good point that you made, CJ.
Yeah,
because it puts you on the defensive.
Mm-hmm.
And then out of the defensive posture, you would say, well, you ain't no saint neither.
I'm going back and forth.
Yeah, exactly.
How about the time you did this? Yeah. And it had nothing to do with being late. You bring up another past hurt. You can go back and forth before you know it. One person is sleeping in the doghouse.
Yeah, I get that. So I enjoyed you guys. This is my last question for you guys for the day, as you guys was talking about earlier. So why do you say that there's no such thing as marriage problems?
Okay. So we want to complete that quote. That's the first part of the quote.
Mm-hmm.
You have no marriage problems. You are two individuals with your own problems coupled together in a marriage.
Mm-hmm.
And together you'll give birth to marriage problems. In other words, problems in a marriage are caused by the people in the marriage.
Yeah.
It has to do with what you brought into the world, like the stuff that Sloan talked about, the baggage and so on.
Uh-huh.
And so, unfortunately, a lot of couples, when they run into problems in the marriage, they go look for solutions to their problems.
Mm.
So it's like, if I can only, you know, find some counselor who will give me the lowdown on how to communicate better, how to control my anger, you know, or whatever the case may be, how to have a better sex life, whatever the case may be. So you focus on the problem and try to find a solution.
Mm-hmm.
And now the whole problem with that kind of an approach is that those solutions will not usually be sustainable, because the hurt that's inside of you that actually led to that becoming a problem will all of a sudden come to the surface. And that when that comes up, you'll find often couples will tell us, we just couldn't even get to the point of applying, you know, what we learned, because it just came out of us, you know, way too quickly, and we couldn't stop it from coming. Well, that's a sign of an internal hurt.
Mm.
That's a problem that the person has. You know, which usually goes back to a hurt.
Mm.
Yeah. And so once you take care of the person, then the marriage problems really, you know, are not that much of an issue anymore.
Mm-hmm.
Because when you change, when you get healed on the inside, then you will respond to what your partner does or says in a very different way than if you didn't take care of it.
Well, that's a good point right there. That's a good point. It deal with me. You know, once I work with me, and then it would be no marriage problem, because you say, sometimes we bring the problem. You know, I was just telling somebody this not too long ago. I say, he said something about the house or whatever. I say, hey, look, man, if you want a peaceful house, you got to bring peace to the house. You got to bring the peace. Because if you bring in chaos or whatever, then your wife gonna, of course she gonna, you know, and 9 times out of 10, I'm just speaking from, you know, being out on the streets and living that lifestyle or whatnot, we the ones bringing the issues home, you know, because of what we doing. And so like I just told him, I said, hey man, If you want peace, bring peace. Like, I like a peaceful household.
Yeah. And so, you know, I'm sure you've heard this. Like, when you put the blame on somebody, when you point one finger at someone,
yeah,
they're three pointing back at you.
Back at you, you know.
Yeah. And so you take care of yourself. Yep. And, you know, but it's very easy to blame somebody else.
Always.
And that unfortunately happens in the marriage a lot.
Yeah.
If only, you know, you behaved better. If only you hadn't done that. If only you did this. And not realizing that, you know, like you're at fault as well. So if instead you say, okay, Lord, show me where I need to change,
mm-hmm.
you know, and then you implement whatever you hear the Lord say to you, then, you know, you're not always looking, you know, at what your spouse needs to change and telling them. Mm-hmm. You tell your spouse what they need to change and you don't do any changing or you believe you don't need to change. Woo!
I mean, I'm listening to you, Pastor, you know, and like you say, you know, you ask the Lord, what is it that, you know, you want me to change? And a few months ago, because I could, you know, he won't let me out the book of Genesis for some reason. The story of Joseph is my favorite story, Genesis 37 on. So, but I was searching for something, Pastor. And I say, you know, like from now to from times past or whatnot. And so I was reading Genesis 3, where they had, you know, ate from the tree and everything. And God came to them in the cool of day. And this one got me. I just had to stop right here and just say that Adam say, well, it was this woman whom you gave to me that had me to eat from the tree. And then he just had me to stop there and just meditate on that. And so and what I got from that, Pastor, was Adam was the first man that didn't take accountability for his own actions.
Exactly.
And so he showed me that's where we are today as well. We don't take accountability.
Yeah,
by our own actions. You know, you guys was just alluding to. And so until you start taking accountability for what you do, then like you said, Pat, you're going to always shift the blame on somebody else.
Yeah.
You know, so that's just all I had to say.
good revelation.
Yeah, that's so true. Yeah.
I really enjoyed that. So where can we find the book and where can we find the courses?
Okay. So the book is actually available on Amazon and Barnes & Noble. You know, you can pretty well go to any bookstore and have them order it for you because we're published by the major publishing companies that will get them to you. And our website is where you come to get more information about our mentorship. And our website is very simple. We're the Sams from Canada. So it's thesams.ca is our website address. And so when you come there, you can actually, you know, like read some information about what we do, some testimonials of couples who worked with us and received a breakthrough. And we actually give you our calendar there where if your marriage is at a place, you know, where, you know, you need a consultation with us, then you can get right on our calendar there, fill out a couple of questions, and we will make time to meet with you and do a deep dive into your marriage and to give you some recommendations of what you need to do. And also tell you, you know, what kind of commitment, you know, like we'll make to you if you want to work with us. And the commitment we expect of the couple, if they also, you know, want are willing to work with us on our terms.
Okay. I appreciate it. Any social media outlets that you guys on? Anything?
We're on Facebook, LinkedIn, YouTube is a place where you can go and find a lot of recordings. We actually been doing a live stream just about every week for well over 2 years. And so the recordings of all the videos or the live streams rather are stored on YouTube. So if you go to YouTube and you Google my name, the channel is actually my full name in one word, Jiva Sam. Okay. If you go to YouTube and just look for Jiva Sam, then that channel will show up and then you can have access to all of our teachings.
Oh, well, you got me, man. I'm going to sign up for the YouTube, subscribe. I'm going to grab that book too. I want to be prepared in case people come to me. Younger people come to me in marriages, man, and be able to help as many people as I can to spread y'all message out there, man. I really enjoyed it. And so I appreciate you guys for coming on today. Hey, so go get the book, The Unbreakable Marriage. Check out the mentor program that the Sams have. Hey, it's been a pleasure having them on the show. This your boy, CJ Money Way. We out here.
People are driven by the search for better. But when it comes to hiring, the best way to search for a candidate isn't to search at all. Don't search, match with Indeed. The hiring process can be slow and overwhelming. Simplify hiring with Indeed. Indeed is your matching and hiring platform, with over 350 million global monthly visitors according to Indeed data, and a matching engine that helps you find quality candidates fast. Ditch the busy work. Use Indeed for scheduling, screening, and messaging so you can connect with candidates faster. Join more than 3.5 million businesses worldwide that use Indeed to hire great talent fast. Listeners of this show will get a $75 sponsored job credit to get your jobs more visibility at Indeed.com/PODKATZ13. That's Indeed.com/PODKATZ13. Terms and conditions apply. People are driven by the search for better. But when it comes to hiring, the best way to search for a candidate isn't to search at all. Don't search, match with Indeed. The hiring process can be slow and overwhelming. Simplify hiring with Indeed. Indeed is your matching and hiring platform, with over 350 million global monthly visitors according to Indeed data, and a matching engine that helps you find quality candidates fast. Ditch the busy work. Use Indeed for scheduling, screening, and messaging so you can connect with candidates faster. Join more than 3.5 million businesses worldwide that use Indeed to hire great talent fast. Listeners of this show will get a $75 sponsored job credit to get your jobs more visibility at Indeed.com/PODKATZ13. That's Indeed.com/PODKATZ13. Terms and conditions apply.